It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people for the love of Jesus Christ.
Even when the rain falls, even when the blood starts rising, even when the storm comes,
Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from Galveston, Texas. Now, that's going to take a little getting used to. We have moved our location, as we have stated before, to Galveston, Texas. And if you hear a little background noise, that's because we're on the site of Friendship's feeding area. Well, Murray Douglas is here to explain a little bit more of what's happening on site in Galveston, Texas. And as you remember, Murray Douglas is our disaster relief coordinator, also does many other things, but he's overseeing this whole project. So welcome to Radio Friendships, Murray.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be here.
Yeah, Murray, now being responsible for a lot of the decisions around here, you've got a lot of information that may be helpful to people back home. So why don't we give a brief overview of what Friendships is trying to accomplish here in Galveston?
Okay. We're coming into Galveston to really just help the local people in their time of need. As many people know, Galveston suffered greatly during Hurricane Ike. Not a lot of wind damage, but there was a lot of flooding across the island. I think something like 80% of the island was underwater. And a lot of people had 4 or 5 feet of water in their homes. So currently we're here providing them some hot meals. We actually placed one of our medical clinics this morning. And we have a nurse on site just to do those little probably cuts and scrapes and checking people's blood pressure to make sure they're not getting too stressed.
Now, we realize that it's been a month since the hurricane came in, but this is a long process. Now, you have some experience in Katrina and Rita as well, so you have a little insight on this. So what can we expect to see in the long run for the citizens of Galveston?
Galveston is going to be, it's going to take a while to recover. I know in New Orleans, it took several years. But here, though we've had flooding, we haven't had a lot of standing water like we did in New Orleans.
Okay.
It was mainly storm surge. The water receded quite quickly, but there's still a lot of damage from just having water come through your home. So there's going to be a lot of longer-term work that needs to be done here, a lot of rebuilding. A lot of people's homes may not have been totally destroyed, but most of the homes have some form of damage in them. Now, in some parts of the island, the houses were just totally gone. And in those, it's just a matter of rebuilding from the ground up. We had some people out doing some assessment last week, and they came across a lot of areas of town that are just red taped for demolition.
Oh, wow.
Just the damage is beyond repair. So a lot of condemned homes, a lot of condemned apartments. And for those, it's just a matter of rebuilding from scratch again.
Is that what we're seeing with the needs of people? It seems as though that people are coming back. They are coming back to houses that are destroyed, though. And it seems as though that first wave of cleanup has happened, and now you're starting to see all the trash come out of the houses and the apartments and the businesses on the side of the road.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cleanup already done, mainly a lot in businesses, and like you said, apartments and things like that have been cleaned up. What still needs to be done is a lot of individual houses, where the people themselves have got to do the cleanup. There is a lot of companies in Galveston right now, a lot of contractors that are doing major cleanup. I came in and was able to see how Galveston looked a couple of weeks ago, and right now it has greatly improved. But there is still a lot of work to do, and it's those individuals that may not be able to afford an outside contractor to come and do the work for them that we're trying to help. A lot of elderly people here on the island, a lot of disabled.
Is that what Friendships is here to do, to help clean up houses, or is there more to that?
We're not here to clean up houses.
Okay.
What Friendships is here to do is pretty much just provide the support framework for church groups to come in. We've got a few groups that have already booked and will be coming in the next few weeks. So we're here to provide the leadership and the structure for those teams to work within. So we're hoping to have a lot of church people come in and help people in their homes. We really don't want this to be a, wow, look what the big relief group did.
Right.
We want this to be, wow, look what the church did.
Amen.
That's the church that's going to be here after we leave. And it's the church that, you know, those people that make decisions for Christ are going to need to be discipled by when we go. We're not here to stay, but the churches of Galveston are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're actually, I don't hate to put it this way, but almost like roadies for a band. And you're coming in and supporting and doing the groundwork for church groups to come in. You're supporting those who are supporting those in Galveston.
Yeah, that's great. That's probably the best way of describing us. Okay. Is we're a bunch of roadies.
Okay.
Do the setup of the site that we have here. Right now, we are doing stuff ourselves, but we're hoping as more groups come in, we'll be able to do more variety of things and use our people and just providing that framework.
Absolutely. And the experience that you have gained over time with friendships being involved in this type of work will be very helpful to those coming in that may not have that experience. We'll be able to send them out with the tools necessary to be most effective, would you say?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you may notice some music in the background. That's because we're on the site where you're actually doing the feeding.
That's correct, Jeff. Yeah, we've been feeding, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We've been feeding an average of about 1,000 people a day.
Wow.
Wow. And it's that's sit-down dining over a period of about 3 to 4 hours. We try not to do takeout. The whole purpose of why we're here is not to feed people. We're here to minister to people. The food is just a tool that we use to be able to share the gospel. And on this one, we're very privileged to be able to work alongside the gentleman from Billy Graham Crusades with their rapid response team. And they're having a lot of fun talking with people, praying with them. And we're seeing a lot of people making decisions for Christ.
Yeah, the one thing that we have noticed is that people seem to be very well respected.
I think it's very important. You know, we need to respect people regardless of their status. A disaster is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank or what your social status is. A hurricane affects everybody the same way. Everybody's without food. Everybody's without power. And we've been able to see that in the last few days where we've had very well-to-do businessmen sitting next to those that are less well-off. And there's been none of those social barriers. There's none of that, oh, I don't want to sit next to that person because they're not the same right. social standing as me. We found that the people we're helping are not just respectful of us and us them, but they're respecting each other as well.
Okay. Are you getting workers as well?
Yeah, we are getting quite a few of those that are here to help clean up. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of contractors bringing their work crews in. And it's a great time. We find we're not just ministering to the people of Galveston, but we're ministering to people from all over the country as well, as various groups come in, some of them as commercial contractors, some of them with other relief organizations and volunteers. So we're seeing a great mix of people, not just from Texas, but from across the country.
And from what I hear, word has got out, the food is pretty good.
So yeah.
You can expect to see more people.
Yeah, word's got out that we've got some good cooks here and the food is pretty good.
What's on the menu today, for example?
I think we have gumbo today, chicken gumbo.
Barbecued chicken yesterday.
We've had barbecue chicken a couple of times. And, of course, we have the big barbecue pits that have been placed so that the smell of the chicken cooking wafts down the road.
Yeah. Let's talk about your location for a moment here, because it seems like a prime area. But this was your second choice, God's first choice. I don't know. How did that work out?
Actually, when we came in to look for a site, and me and Terry that came in with me didn't even see this spot. We just drove right on by it, didn't even notice it. The spot that we really wanted is now the area that they're dumping all of the debris and the trash. So God knew that that would not be a good spot for us.
No. It's a mountain of debris.
It is a mountain of stuff.
We drove by it the other day, and one of the workers there, this was beautiful, one of the workers there had planted an American flag at the top of the hill of all this debris, just to show that there is hope and there is still that American spirit of not giving up and making this our home. But this was your second choice?
No, our second choice was at the other end of the island, and our third choice was on the seawall. But I guess this is where God wanted us. We're right on the intersection of two of the main roads of Galveston. So we get a lot of traffic just driving by, and it's just the perfect size for us to do our setup. And Yeah, God knew where he wanted us to be, and we're right at the right place.
And let me tell you, when you drive by, after looking at walls of debris on the side of the road, you see that crisp, clean, white tents with the big banner out there. And what does it say on it?
From Jesus with love.
Yeah, you smell the barbecue and the happy, smiley faces. I mean, who wouldn't want to stop in and see what's going on?
Yeah.
All right, Murray. Well, we're going to have to take a short break here to hear from Shea Shields out on the field. I kind of like that. Shea Shield on the field, our roving reporter. So let's go to Shea right now. Shea?
Yeah, this is Shea Shield on the streets of Galveston, Texas, after the storm of Hurricane Ike. We're here sitting down with Eddie here, and he's invited us to his home. Mr. Eddie, we just want to know more about you and what happened with you and yourself after the storm of Hurricane Ike.
Oh, just a lot of cleanup, a lot of unconfidence, a lot of, I don't know, should be anger, but, you know, not. It's something that was unexpected. It's a tragedy, you know, and as you look at it every day, it's really bad. You know, I came in from like a semi-retire. I drove truck for like 28 years, you know, and I came back to stay and for 3 weeks before the storm, and everything get total out. I lost over half of everything I got, you know. So it's really bad. And as you look at it every day, it's even worse.
How long has you and your family lived here for?
Well, we had the house for 8 years. I'm a resident of the island, but we only had the house for like 8 years, you know. And I was on the road, working on the road for 8 years and never had anything happen. Then I come in to retire and everything gone. Yeah, you know, I had one theft in 8 years, and then I get chased out of town behind the storm and take everything. But, you know, we're going to make it.
So where did you guys evacuate from the storm?
Well, I was in San Antonio. Yeah, we went to San Antonio. I stayed in motels and stuff like that and came back and lived with family. And then now some nights you can stay in here and some nights you can't, you know. So it's getting a little bad. But other than that, man, we're going to make it. Yeah, we're going to make it. We're not going to run from it. You know, I guess it's a new experience for all of us. It's a wake-up call. Yeah, you're trying to tell us something.
You know, storms come in our lives where we don't know when the next storm may come. And God forbid that would ever happen and take us home, you know. We got to make sure we're ready to meet the Father, you know. And the Bible talks about wide is the gate to eternal destruction in hell, but narrow is the gate to eternal life. And if that were to happen, would you know how to get to heaven?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was brought up in a church.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've been, since I was on the road, you know, I've been to churches throughout the state. Sure. But our whole family, I was brought up in a church as a kid. You sang in the choir and all that. Oh, yeah.
So you mind if we pray for you? So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that you've established this relationship, Lord God. And we pray that you would just also allow your Holy Spirit to minister to this family, Lord. And as they start rebuilding here, they could also start rebuilding their lives, Lord, and get themselves just on the right track, Lord. And this foundation would be a new foundation established in you, Lord God. We'd bless them and provide for them all that they need, Lord God. And we thank you so much as you provided this water today, Lord God. You'll continue to provide for them all that they need, Lord God. And they could testify to how good you are, Lord. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you, Eddie.
All right.
See your home, and hopefully we can continue to come back here and see you.
Hey, we'll do that. Yeah, we're going to be here and keep on rolling, man. We can't give up. If we give up, we're going to lose everything, so we got to keep at it.
Thank you, Shea. That was Shea Shields from the streets of Galveston. Now let's rejoin Murray Douglas. Murray, the other day I saw some pictures of the site beforehand, and it looked like there was some work going on here. So what does it take to prepare a site like this?
Okay, when we first got here, it was a relatively nice site, but it did have debris from the storm on it, and there's a patch of grass on it, and that was about waist high. So we had to come in with some weed eaters and mowers and a cleanup crew just to prepare the site and make sure that it was prepared for setting up. There's a lot of work that goes into even before we set up, making sure that the site has been prepared properly, that nobody's going to hurt themselves, nobody's going to get sick. Then there's the preparation, the setting up, the putting up of the tents and bringing in the equipment. So there's a lot of work that goes into a mission like this even before we start feeding.
Well, we see you throughout the day, busy, mingling with the people, cleaning tables, making decisions. I mean, it seems like it's nonstop for you. But still, you have found time to sit with the people and get to know a few of the stories of the people. Do you have something that has touched you over the last few days?
One of the jobs that I end up doing is I bus tables. And I found that the people of Galveston are sweet people. Me and my wife lived here for a couple of years in 2001, 2002. My daughter was born here on the island,
really?
Which gives her immediate elitist status for the island. But actually, one of the stories that comes to mind, we had a lady come in asking what we were doing. And I was telling her, I got up to the point of saying, you know, we were hoping to have church teams come in to help people clean houses. She just burst into tears at that point, and she'd been praying for somebody to come in and help her. She'd been trying to clean up her house by herself. She was about 75 years old, and it had just got too much for her. So the night before, she'd just got on her knees and prayed, and we just happened to be the people she came up to and asked what was going on. Mm. So 5 minutes later, we had a cleanup crew at her house cleaning up for her. And we later found out, I think the following day, that she was the mother of the guard on the gate at the harbour, where we have to come in and out each day. And he was very excited that we got to help his mom. And we now have not just made a friend with Mrs. Collins, but her son is very excited to see us heading out from the port each day as well.
Amen. Does it bother you sometimes to help people and not to be able to see the effect of what it does in their lives as they move out? I mean, you're still located here. They move on with their lives, but you've had an effect on their life. Does it bother you that you don't get to see that?
Not really. No, I've been involved with Friendships for almost 15 years now. And I know the work that I do affects people's life regardless of whether I see the effects or not. And I know just from people that have ministered into my life, I know they haven't seen the effects, but they've been there. I had a praying grandmother that when I first joined Friendships, she was very excited. She died about 12 years ago now, but I know the effects that she had on my life that are coming to fruition now, she never saw. But I know that that never bothered her. And I tried to live the same, that I just know, you know, the Bible says that the word of God doesn't return void.
Amen.
Doesn't say that we'll see the result. It just says it won't return void.
Okay, now what ways do you think that people in other parts of the country could most effectively help either the citizens of Galveston or Friendships that may be helping the citizens of Galveston, whichever way they choose to do it? Do you have any ideas for people that want to help that just don't know how?
Okay. First thing that we need is prayer. We're seeing the results. Well, we were in church yesterday morning, and the pastor said there was a lot of people praying against the storm, that it wouldn't come through Galveston. The storm still came through Galveston, but the effects of the storm coming through Galveston are that people are coming to know Jesus.
Mm.
So those prayers are being answered, maybe not in the way that we thought, but there's a harvest that's happening now because of the prayers that were prayed over Ike. And, you know, we still need people praying. This is a great harvest field. We're seeing dozens of people coming to the Lord around our dining tables every day. The second way they can help is come on down. Talk to your pastor. Get a group together from your church and come and put your hands to the plow. We are dealing primarily with church groups.
About what size? Is it varying?
I think we're varying from, I think we have a group of four coming in this next weekend.
Okay.
We also have a group of some like 22 coming in at the same time. But what we want to happen is that the people see the church. People have seen Christians before. They know Christians. But in this one, we want them to see the church.
Amen.
We want them to be able to be brought into the family of God. And part of being in the family is being in His house. You know, this isn't something that we can do alone. And that's not just Friendships alone, but this isn't something that we can do by ourselves as an individual. This needs to be a group effort thing. And the thing is, you know, if God places this on your heart to come and get involved, He's placing it on other people's heart in your church as well. We've found that just people getting together and talking about helping this, that, oh, I want to do that too. And oh, I know somebody else that has been talking about it. So we want this to be a thing that's done by the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Not by just a bunch of individuals.
Now, the teamwork is very important in this.
And also the benefit to the team. I found that there's been mission trips that I've done by myself before I joined Friendships. And when I got back home, I found it really hard because there was nobody else that had been through it with me. I could tell the stories of what I'd done, but to it, those other people, it was just stories.
Yeah.
Whereas if you come as part of a team, that when you go back home, there's that bonding together of having, remember when we were in Galveston.
Yeah.
And there's people that can understand what you've been through because they were there with you. And there's people that you can build that team upon. What we'd like to see is every church have a disaster response team. There are people in every church that are interested in disaster response, but it needs to be a team thing.
Okay, so say there's an individual in there and they find a couple people in church. The next step probably is to go to their pastor?
Yeah, they need to go to their pastor. This needs to be something that is done with their church's blessing, because we want to come alongside the churches. And having the blessing of your church leadership is important. And there are some churches that have other things going on, and we understand that. Disasters aren't planned.
Yeah.
And we understand that churches often have their year planned out.
Yeah.
But it is important to have the blessing of your church leadership. So you're not as a lone ranger. You have your church covering over you. Okay. And we've found people can be a lot more effective when they stay under that authority of their church.
Yeah, and then you know, you have the advantage of having your home assembly praying for you while you're gone,
yeah.
Also in supporting and being a part of that mission, even though they're not there. So then I think probably the next step is to go to the website.
Yeah, to go to the website and contact us at Port Mercy. There's a lot of people that want to come down and help, but we need to schedule. There are times where we have a lot of teams that want to come, and then there are times that we don't have a lot of teams.
Okay.
We really need that help.
We need
help.
To spread it out to where there's more.
Yeah, we don't want to have 100 people come down for a week, and that would be great. And then
sense.
The next week, it'd just be us.
Well, let me direct them to that website real quick while we're on that. It's www.friendships.org, and then right there on the homepage, I believe, Murray, there's a little spot right there that they can click on.
I think it's right at the top of the homepage,
okay.
too, I think.
Is there an application there as well that they can download, or is that?
Yeah, I think there's. I think we've tried to do it as much downloads as we can.
Okay.
I have a good relationship with the webmaster. So.
He happens to be married to Carla Douglas, who is our webmaster. Yes, that's why I'm asking him for that information. Anyways, again, go to the website, and you can always call the office at area code 337-433-5022, and they will be able to help you there as well. Murray, did we forget anything as far as needs? We covered prayer and teams. Is there anything else you can think of?
Not that comes to mind. In about 5 minutes when we're finished here, I'll be able to remember a whole list of things.
I think we're going to be here a little while. I think we can catch up on some things.
Okay,
and again, we'll probably be doing some dates with Murray to keep you updated on what is happening. And maybe the needs would change from time to time. We have to remain flexible.
I think they will.
And so Murray will be back to inform us of what those needs will be, and maybe more specific in prayer. And don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. It restores hope into an area that has been spiritually changed. There has been a lot of people's lives changed at this moment. Let's steer them towards Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we need to have the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be most effective, not for friendships, not for Murray Douglas, not for the individuals working here, but for lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. So again, that website is www.friendships.org, or call the office at 337-433-5022. Now, Murray, do you happen to have a scripture today, something that right off the top of your head, listeners?
Yeah, actually, it's the scripture that first brought me to Friendships. It's Isaiah 45. And the first day we came in, we had just finished cleaning the site, and a piece of paper blew up and one of the guys caught it, and it was a burnt page out of the Bible, Isaiah 45, which says, "I will make your ways straight in the wilderness, I'll cut through the bars of bronze, I'll give you the treasures hidden in darkness." And you know, that's what we're doing. We're claiming those treasures that have been in darkness back to the kingdom of light.
Amen. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Murray. I know you need to get back out there and get to work. They're starting to feed here.
I'm sure they're not waiting on me, but I think that there might be some dirty tables for me to start cleaning soon.
We'll let you get back out there. Thank you for joining us today on Radio Friendships, and we invite you back here tomorrow, where we love to speak about the great and mighty God and the many wonderful ways throughout the world to serve Him. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.